the Award Podcast is brought to you by Naked City Brewery.
Hello and welcome, everyone. Welcome to the Air Raid Podcast. This is episode 207 in what is now officially considered a long and drawn-out series. I am your host, Aaron Roden, and of course, this is the show where we drop bombs of awesome straight into your ear holes. Boom indeed, folks. Boom indeed. Man, we have got a great episode for you this week. The Fame Riot. Two brothers from Tacoma, Washington, The Fame Riot. Awesome, awesome pop, like indie pop slash EDM music that will get you dancing in your seat. I swear to you. I promise you this, folks, and we're going to be featuring music from their EP, and it's going to be great. We're going to be chatting a lot about religion this week, which is super interesting. I don't know. It's just a topic that I'm interested in, folks. And their background and their life, man. What has led them to this point? They've got a lot of great videos up that you guys should check out. A lot that go along with along with their music. I'm sorry. I just got a text message. I was reading the text message as I was talking. That does not work. So I will stop doing that. All right. Hey, we got this other thing coming up. Let's see. What is that? August 6th, man. Our friends over at the Sibling Rivalry going to be doing a listener bash. They're calling it the Basically Friday Listener Bash because it takes place on like a Thursday or a Wednesday, August 6th. Let's see. What is that? What is that day? Shall we just look and be prepared, Aaron? Would that be a good thing? Yes, it's a Wednesday, folks, August 6th, at Naked City Brewery and Tap House. Great place, right? Let's call Jeremy up right now from the Sibling Rivalry and chat with him for a second and find out more about this show. Let me get this phone thing ready. Here we go.
Hello?
Jeremy?
Hey, yeah.
Jeremy Grader.
This is him.
Hey, what's up, man?
Nothing.
Good. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, it's a little echoey, but it's fine.
A little echoey? Come on, man. I can't, you know what? I don't have the money to do my show in a fancy schmancy studio like the Sibling Rivalry here, bud.
Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty high-end stuff on our end.
It is, really, right? You guys got a fancy studio, man. I've been in that studio many times. It's an amazing place.
Yeah, we like it.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, yeah. So you've got something pretty special going on here. You've got something pretty special going on here pretty soon, don't you?
I think so. We're calling it special.
Oh, good, good.
Yeah.
Why don't you tell us about it, Jeremy?
Sure. Okay. Well, hey, we're gonna have a little listener party. We're gonna try and say thanks to the listeners that have supported our show for 9 years. My brother Aaron, who if you've ever heard our show, is going to fly out to Seattle for the event.
Awesome.
But trust me, that's the reason to come. There's more going on than just that.
Right. Right.
We wind up an amazing evening of music. We're going to have. Aaron, are you familiar with Aaron Jones of Aaron Jones and the Way?
I am, man. That guy is an amazing guitar player.
Yeah, he's just absolutely insane. We had him on our show a few weeks ago, and we're lucky enough to twist his arm and get him to play a couple songs for us just in our studio. And just we were absolutely blown away, so we had to ask him, hey, would you be willing to slum it with us for a night and play?
Sure.
So he's going to do that. He's going to headline for us. We also connected with a great alternative soul singer. Her name is Whitney Monge. She's going to open things up. It's just it's going to be insane. And not only that, but this is going to happen at Naked City Brewery, and I'm pretty sure you're familiar with the venue.
Yeah, man. Yeah, sponsors of your show, sponsors of my show, sponsors of like all things awesome.
Absolutely, and they invited us out last week. We went into the brewery, and Don, the head brewer, came up with a special recipe, and they brewed a sibling rivalry pale ale that they're going to release that night. It's going to be on cask. It's going to be on tap. It's just going to be a really good time, and it's all just to say thanks to the listeners for supporting us for the many, many years we've been doing this.
Yeah, dude, 9 years. That's insane.
Nine.
So is this like happening on like the anniversary or the birthday
It's actually like 3 weeks before the actual anniversary, but tickets.
Come on,
buying plane tickets is not an exact science. You gotta strike while the iron's hot. So,
I was gonna give you shit for it, but now I feel bad. Well, that's really cool, man. Is this kind of the first live event that you guys have done? I mean, we've all done like listener gatherings and stuff before, but this is like more of like a show, right? This is going to be a real show.
We're not doing our show, but we're attaching our name to it. We'll get up there and we'll say hi. And it's going to be emceed by a good friend of ours. His name's Scott Carty. You might have seen him. We're pretty sure he's going to be the next host of America's Funniest Video. So, he wanted to be a part of this, so we said, well, why don't you be the face of this thing and MC it for us? And he's going to be
awesome.
There. And so it's going to be really, really fun. And you had a question that I just completely didn't answer.
But it's a real show.
Oh,
it's a real show.
It is an actual concert. But like I said, we're not doing our show. But it is
the first time
that we've done something like this. We have gone and recorded our show out in public, you know, not in the way that you did yours, but, you know, we happen to be in a place where, you know, we've gone to bars that have sponsored us before and just recorded our show there, but we were just sitting at the table with our computers and our microphones and just looked like total geeks. So this is kind of the first time that we really put our name out there and said, hey, we're around, and then this is some of the stuff that we're into, and we think you guys will like it.
Well, it's going to be a fun night, man. It's going to be a fun night. What's the date again?
This is going to be Wednesday night.
Uh-huh.
And trust me, I know Wednesday, but it's right before Thursday, which is basically Friday. So we're calling this this party basically Friday.
Basically Friday party. Nice.
Wednesday night, August 6th, we're going to open the doors at 8 o'clock. And I know it's Wednesday, so people may be worried about it being a school night. We're gonna shut the music down, you know, around 11, but the party will go until they throw us out. So.
Well, that's great, man. That's great. So it's not too late. It's easy for people to go out on a Wednesday. I mean, it's hump night. You know?
Absolutely.
Or hump day, whatever.
And if you do it right, maybe it ends up as hump night. Who knows?
Exactly.
I'm just saying
exactly.
Happened.
That was gross. That was gross.
You're welcome.
Well, Jeremy, I'm excited for it. I know I and Thunder from the Stack of Dimes, we're planning on being out there as well.
Nice.
We're stoked for the show, man. And it couldn't be done at a better place.
Yeah, absolutely. The venue, you know better than most, is very intimate. And so to see these performers in this venue this way, I'm pretty sure that they're both kind of on the verge of being way too big to play places like this again. So it's probably the last chance you're going to get to see them up close and like this.
It's going to be great, man. It's going to be great. Good. Best of luck to you. And get your tickets now, right?
Absolutely. We got a handful or two left, so jump on it.
All right. Get on it, people. And where can they find tickets?
It's through Brown Paper Tickets. We've got an event page on our Facebook page, and we're promoting the hell out of it on Facebook and Twitter. So look for us on either of those, and I'm sure you'll find it pretty easily.
All right, man. Perfect. And we'll plug it in our show notes as well.
Absolutely. Thank you, sir.
Jeremy, thank you so much, dude. Thanks for coming
on
real quickly, and best of luck on the show, dude.
Thank you. We'll see you there, and thanks for the support.
All right, buddy. Jeremy Grader, folks. Jeremy Grader, he's like the main host of the Sibling Rivalry podcast here in Seattle. Great dude, man, and great show. So check that out, won't you? Yeah, do that. You can get your tickets at brownpapertickets.com. Just type in the TSRP's Basically Friday Listener Bash, or go to nakedcitybrewing.com and to the event page and look it up on the calendar, August 6th. Yeah, that's going to be a lot of fun. Hopefully, I will see you guys there. And God, I'm getting another I'm just getting another text message. Why am I reading that? Why am I reading that? I should not. I should not do that. Man, can I just tell you guys really quick, really, really quickly, that I had a great time hosting the Timberfest this year. Just got back this weekend. I hosted, let's see, God, man, it was such a great weekend. I've got a lot of admiration for a lot of people today because I just feel so loved. It was amazing. It was such an amazing weekend. I was asked to MC the Quiet Ones final show on Thursday, which was so much fun. It was so much fun. Thank you guys for coming out if you did. We had a great time. The band, you know, was just awesome, and they're just one of my favorite bands in Seattle. And to be asked to do that for their final show was just amazing. And met some really cool people, met some listeners of the Air Raid podcast, which was fun. And also got to meet Stephen Tobolowsky, man. Stephen Tobolowsky, you know, Ned Ryerson from Groundhog Day, right? Host of the Tobolowsky Files. What a great dude. And his amazing producer, David Chen. Man, just two awesome people. That was fantastic. And then on Friday, I go and I host our MC the second half of Timberfest on Friday, and then you know a little bit on Saturday too, bringing up Jay Maskus of Dinosaur Jr., which was interesting. That's all I'm gonna say about that. But it was so much fun, man. I mean, that festival, Timberfest, is just fantastic. So if anybody that went there is listening right now, thank you guys so much for having me there. Thank you for not booing at me when I was on stage. That was nice. Except for this one time, this girl. A girl said something, let's see, while I was bringing up Mikey and Maddie on the campfire stage late at night. Maybe that's a story for another time, but that was a little funny, and maybe we'll tell you guys that next week. Let's see. Let's get into it, shall we? Did I thank Kevin Sir really quick? Thank you, Kevin Sir, at Timberfest and everybody that worked on that festival for making it just such a smooth operation and just so much fun. Just so much fun. And met a lot of people there too, man. Met a lot of great people. Made some connections, met some listeners. Thank you guys. Thanks for listening. Just awesome. It was just, I'm so tired right now. Can you tell? All right, let's get into it, shall we? Going with our first musical break. Let's see. I Like the Way You Move by this band, The Fame Riot, man. And we're going to be talking with Liz and Shazam coming up here on the Air Raid podcast. So stay with us, folks. Enjoy this song. Get up, move around, pump it up, man. Turn it up. I love this. I love it. I Like the Way You Move. We'll be right back with more of the Air Raid podcast for your ears. Stay with us. It's hard when you find the time to fight it all. Don't you get it? That the choice ain't up to you. did. And in the comments section, you never read the comments section.
Oh, I did.
Did you guys read that comment section?
I did not. Someone told me, hey, man, you see all that nasty shit people were talking about you online? And I was like,
yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Are you recording now?
Yeah. Yeah. It's going.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I don't want to, like, start off all foul. And I'm trying not
to. No, you can swear on this. It's totally fine.
I made a mistake of reading, like, a couple of them, yeah.
Yeah, so. Yeah.
And it didn't really faze me that much.
It didn't faze you?
No, because, you know, you can go to, like, any video on YouTube and it could be
a
chicken
dancing.
Oh, yeah,
the most foul, like, most homophobic and racist, like, things known to man.
Yeah, well, they'll be having, like, a religious debate on the chicken. The chicken.
Right, right.
Death.
Yeah, yeah.
From their mother's basement.
No. Well, that's the thing, right? You're much more mature than I am. Because every time I get a bad email or like a bad comment on like an interview that I've done or something like that, man, I get so fucking fired up. Like I just want to find the person and murder them in the worst way.
You know, that violence, yeah. I have those thoughts sometimes.
That's the crust on it. That's always the crust. But if you blow kisses, it's easy to wipe the crust away. Just blow them kisses and let them be bitter in their mother's basement.
True.
Because you're having a better day, right? You don't know what's going on in that person's life, right?
I have no desire to know.
No.
Based on...
Probably nothing, and that's why they're commenting on YouTube.
Based on what comes out of their
fingertips. I don't comment on YouTube.
As a practice.
I just stay away from it.
Okay, that's good, you know? Man. That's good. That's a good way to be, right?
Unless it's like encouragement, I feel like I'll do that sometimes.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know, there's always those one or two bitter people that you've had some sort of disagreement with or altercation with to some degree.
There's always one dislike.
Yeah, there's a dislike. Like exactly. Every video within the first 24 hours of posting it, one dislike. Yeah. I think I know who it is too. At least I have a few names in a roster of people prepared to blacklist one day. But
No, we don't. Just wait until you hit it big, and then just like, okay, now you can take care of that list.
I think
let it simmer.
Yeah, it would almost like glorify them if we even mentioned them.
Yeah,
Of course. Well, that's what most people are looking for, right?
Just a reaction.
Yeah,
just a reaction. Right?
Yeah. We'll ignore them, and it'll annoy them. Yeah, I think that's better plan.
There's nothing more badass than seeing a crazy guy talking a whole bunch of garbage to somebody on the street, and that person just doesn't even acknowledge them. It's just so great. I love it, because they're trying so hard to piss them off and to get a reaction. And
yeah.
I feel like that happens to us. Well, that actually happened to us.
It happened to me yesterday.
Quite a few.
What? Yesterday? What happened?
I was just walking out of the bathroom of the Science Center, and there was like this sports team. And they called me effing queer. And so I turned around and blew them kisses. And
Very nice. Shook
my booty, and they were happy. They liked it, you know? The only reason they mentioned that was
here in Seattle?
Yeah. You know, it's interesting, actually, how politically correct and politically incorrect it is at the same time.
Oh, yeah, sure, sure.
And us being, like, we're not homosexual, but we definitely, people get that impression a lot just based on it being so... vast, especially where we live.
Or with hot women.
Being flamboyant, people kind of assume. But it's funny. I like seeing confusion on people's faces when they're insulting us. Like they don't really know how to insult us because we're...
It doesn't really matter.
Yeah, it doesn't really matter.
Well, Liz and Shazam of the band The Fame Riot joining me here in the backyard. Thank you guys so much for coming. We did just mention you played in Seattle yesterday at the Bite of Seattle.
Yeah, right? We did.
And then last night on Bainbridge Island.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're very tired. We're trying to pump as much caffeine into these guys as possible.
Stumptown.
It seems to be working.
It is.
Right?
It's great. Yeah. I'm having a good time right now.
Yeah.
I like to stay up all night because it makes me feel a little bit high, but naturally high.
Sure. I wanted to ask you guys a question, because this is something that I've thought about for a long time, and I don't know if it's just my, like, this weird thing that I've never let go of from the 90s where some things are passe and some things are uncool, but like playing a show at the Bite of Seattle, is that out of necessity, or is it out of just like, yeah, who gives a shit, we'll play a show anywhere?
I mean, that's a good question.
That is a good question.
It's very much a little bit of both because it's,
yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, we look at it as, is it a positive, is there going to be a positive result based on the situation? So are we going to be able to pay our band? Are we going to be able to fill the gas tank? And are we going to ultimately be seen and heard, you know? So usually what we look for with anything is it going to benefit us positively? So,
those kinds of shows are like, the people that see us at the shows don't come usually to just see us. I mean, we had a lot of people that showed up.
Sure.
But
sure.
I think the coolest part about it is that these people probably never would go to a show or even really look us up. And they wouldn't have
found out. But it's all a lot about, of like, kids reaching a different demographic, right?
Different demographic, and I feel like everybody. It's almost all age groups are kind of into it, and
it's almost like reaching a demographic that doesn't even exist at places like that, at festivals like that, because there's so many different people that aren't even there for the music.
Yeah,
I like the bite. You know, it's just
that's what I always wonder about, like things like that, because like there are a lot of bands that I really enjoy that have done things like that, played by to Seattle or played like the rock and roll marathon or something like that. And I always wonder, I was like, I wonder if that's out of necessity, like you need a couple bucks, or is it just like you want to reach that crowd?
Man.
Because it just doesn't seem like that type of crowd would be into going into, you know, a small club and seeing a band.
But it's all the money back into the, all the money goes, you know, everything goes back into the project.
Yeah.
You know, we don't really take any of it. It's just out of necessity to eat. We still have to
grind, you know, daily grind to be able to do what we do.
Oh, of course.
But it's funny because I was thinking about the people that go to the Bite of Seattle to eat and spend their money. They bring money to spend on food. It's like the opportunity we have is to make a fat guy say, I'm not going to get that third sandwich. I'm going to go buy a CD, and then he'll get one sandwich skinnier that day.
There you go, man. And, you're saving lives.
We're saving lives and spreading love. And I mean,
you're keeping people skinny is what you guys are doing.
I need a sandwich though.
It's all about the health. That's our whole message.
That's right. That's
organic
right.
Organic living.
I got to say, like I'm not a huge, well, I am. I love pop music. I will say that. Okay. Mm-hmm. But I'm not in the know with a lot of pop music.
Yeah.
But you guys.
Me neither.
I would consider you guys pop, wouldn't you? Indie pop?
I definitely think, I know that that's part of what we're going for. So I would, I would never be able to say, no, we're not pop, but I know that our roots are not pop. I know that our roots aren't pop, but like the things that have refined our roots are very much pop.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, I think that's kind of
heavily rock and roll based.
Yeah.
That's what we first. I mean, that's what we all started out, and gospel music too. So,
And then we kind of even went back in time and got into the dance, like the Earth, Wind & Fire and Michael Jackson, the Talking Heads and Bowie.
I can hear a lot of those influences in the EP.
Yeah. Rad.
I really enjoy it, and it's definitely something that I've turned on in our living room recently, and me and my daughter will dance to.
Oh, that's so cool.
Oh, we love that.
That's awesome.
There was a lot of kids dancing last night. There's tons of them.
That's got to be pretty cool, right?
It is. There's it's nothing more great. Enjoying than watching kids like be sucked into the whole thing, the whole experience of it. It's like they when you see a kid get sucked into it and they love it and eat it up, it's like that's all that matters. Mm-hmm. They're in the next generation. I just want to make them feel like they can get it. If you can make a 3-year-old get it, then man, I think then that's the best.
Well, and kids are so, like, back to the whole judgmental thing, like they're so like without judgment about anything. So if they like something, they're going to love it.
It's true.
Fully,
that's true.
Right?
Yeah. I think kids are actually quite full of judgment. I have a different interpretation of that. Yeah, I think kids can be very cruel at some level.
It's definitely an individual thing.
Mm-hmm.
Kids are very much just as individual when they're young as they are older. Just,
well, if they don't like something, they'll tell you.
Oh yeah.
Right?
Oh yeah.
That's like I don't really consider that judgment. That's just like, no, I don't like that. I'm not going to do that.
Yeah. You know? I wonder what would happen if we put 3-year-olds in the judge seats for just
well,
a day.
That'd be horrible.
It'd be chaos.
I'm probably.
It'd be chaos.
We'd have to legalize the Purge.
We'd build everything out of Legos.
that would be cool.
That would be
rad. I think
rad.
So,
yeah.
too.
Yeah. So, you guys are brothers, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Blood.
You're not twins, are you?
We're Bopsy twins, man. No, we're a lot of people ask us that.
Yeah, because you look very, very much alike.
Oh, yeah, we.
I'll take that as a compliment. This guy's sexy.
Not as sexy. No, we like looking nice, and we are brothers. Yeah.
Yeah.
Where did you guys grow up?
Oh man.
Where are you from originally?
All over me, Liz Scarlett speaking. The most of my life has been on the West Coast, but okay. Shazam was born in the Midwest.
Mm-hmm.
I was conceived in Australia, born in Texas, raised for 6 months in Victorville, California, raised for another five or six years in Gig Harbor, Washington, and then another 4 years in Sacramento, California.
Wow.
And so now I
am all over the place.
All over, man. Now I'm in Tacoma, Seattle, Tacoma, and
okay.
Just I can't even say I'm from anywhere.
The same story.
Well, yeah, because your brother. So what? What did your parents do? Were it Army?
No, that's the first thing everybody says.
Yeah.
Kind of an army, more of a spiritual army. ministry, man. Our folks were.
Oh, really?
My dad was a pastor.
He's
been a pastor for 35 years, man.
What kind of pastor for what kind of church?
Well, non-denominational. I wouldn't say Pentecostal, but they like speak in tongues and whatnot. So it's not like Baptist blow ram horns in the aisle and wave ribbons. You know, there were people that did that growing up in that environment.
Very traditional. I wouldn't say it wasn't like uniform church.
Okay,
you know, we didn't have to wear ties every day.
But you did.
Sometimes we did. But.
You spoke in tongues.
Oh man! Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Wow! Tell me about that. What is, that's like way beyond me, man. Way beyond me. So you guys grew up.
I think it's kind of like beyond all of us, because certain people claim to be able to interpret it, and I don't know if that's even a thing, man. I know that people aren't supposed to know what it means when it comes out of it. You just see people with their eyes closed. It was weird. We saw a lot of weird things in church.
Yeah. A lot of weird people.
and also a lot of really good people, and actually people that were friends with and closest to nowadays are still they started there with us.
We're working with a photographer from Australia, and we knew him when we were like 13 or 14.
Uh-huh.
And now he's doing a lot of photos and video work for us.
Oh, cool.
So we made a lot of good connections and friends in ministry and in church, and I'm very happy that we were raised in it. I wouldn't have had it any other way. And
I don't hear that a lot.
I think music is a very spiritual thing, and it's like a gateway, you know, to your soul. And I think if you can bring people in like a worship sort of vibe, then it's easier, I feel like, to perform and to bring a crowd that's there to dance. And it's
to kind of let go of their comfort zone and to let go of where they feel comfortable just sitting back and watching, and actually getting them involved and letting them physically exert that energy.
Yeah.
But okay. I was going to say, basically, like what we were just saying about, now I'm drawing a blank.
Judgment?
In just being, judging your past growing up in the church. Like you said you never heard anybody say, "I'm glad I was raised that way."
No. I've heard a lot of people say that. I on this show, that doesn't come up very often. Like there are a lot of people that we've talked to on this show that have been like, "I'm glad that I'm out of the church now."
Yeah. I mean, you know, we have our opinions, like, and a lot of them are you know, personal. It's hard to explain it. You can't really explain it all to everyone.
Sure. Everybody has their own journey through it. Yeah.
But no matter what your belief is, it's like everything happens for a reason, and you can't be bitter about how you were raised. It's like this guy Mitch, like we met him in it.
Uh-huh.
10 years ago, or however, I don't know, almost 10 years ago. And now he comes 10 years later, he comes in and he's developing our visuals and doing music videos. And it's like,
and he's incredible.
And he's incredible.
He's an incredible professional. And he's super good at what he does.
Yeah.
And I think it's not coincidental that he also came out of church, and he's a talented person that with an eye for detail and creativity.
Yeah.
And I think photography and cinematography can be the same kind of spiritual sort of interpretation. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
It's all where you put your energy, right?
Yeah.
Where you get it from, too. Where's it coming from?
Whatever.
It's all about your theme levels, actually. Yeah.
Yeah, we've been working on those, our auras.
Oh, my God. So tell me about what was it like for you guys growing up in something like that? I mean, you're moving around all over the world, it sounds like.
All over the United States. And my parents traveled a lot, so we were...
For the church?
Yeah,
because for several different churches.
For a lot of different churches.
It changed throughout, you know, time and everything.
Sure. was it a little crazy? That must have been a crazy experience, especially for a child to, like, be picked up and moved.
Yeah, I think it got harder as we got older.
True.
I think the worst...
Because you make friends and...
Yeah, I think the worst thing... We moved to California in 2007, and that was probably the hardest because we knew no one. We knew no one in Sacramento, California, and we had all of our friends in Washington, and having to uproot that and then start it all over again and then having to uproot it again to come back. It was great that we came back to the original group of people, but we still have those ties, man, with those people in the South. That's like, you're not around them anymore. So it's true, you're torn by it.
Sure.
But you kind of lose contact with certain individuals that you would prefer to keep in contact with, but life moves on and you can't, I don't know. We got like thousands of Facebook friends and, you know, you don't talk to half of them.
Yeah.
But it's always good. I mean, Mitch, again, like back to
But then again, there's people that will come out of nowhere.
Back.
Yeah. Yeah. And where did you meet him? Where did he come in?
I stayed with his parents came to like speak into our church and he stayed at my house for a bit and my older brother's house.
Here in Washington or?
Yeah.
Gig Harbor.
Oh, okay. Gig Harbor. Gotcha.
This was like 2005.
I mean, I was like 13 or 14.
Okay.
2006.
And we hung out and we kind of connected because he was kind of like I don't know how to explain it.
He was kind of like a rebel.
We were both rebellious at this point. Yeah. You know, I was like 14. Yeah. I was a little shit.
Sneaking out.
And, and so...
Very
strict. We connected in like a weird way and then he left and we hadn't talked in ages and it was kind of cool because we reconnected.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's
but
awesome.
Growing up in that environment is definitely like very, very secure, very, very, very clean and strict. And
we weren't allowed to listen to a lot of secular music.
Uh-huh. Yeah, like
a lot of DC talk. In the house.
Oh, huh? My gosh. Yeah. And actually, there was this one song that stuck in my head the other day, but I can't remember what it's called. I think it's called Colored People, which I think is a very politically incorrect name. Not that I care about that. And Newsboys, of course.
Of course. Yeah.
All those
were the only secular radio station we could have on the dial was like 88.5, the jazz.
And I like 88.5, too.
Yeah.
Or now I did. I haven't listened to
the
radio for a while.
Yeah, that was like the classical station here in Washington for a long time. Yeah.
That's right.
I don't know if it still is. Or no, I was thinking of 80. Well, maybe.
No, I think you're talking about
88.1 or something. I can't remember.
98.1.
Is it 98.1? That was the classical one?
I don't remember.
Yeah, that was the classical
one. You're right.
Because 88.5 was like all the old.
I'm sorry, the
bebop
internet.
Jazz
the internet ruined my education. No.
How did you? I mean, you had to have like snuck secular music into the house, right?
Oh yeah,
how do you guys get...
That's how it all started.
Yeah, man, we had a tape. We had a cassette tape, double-sided cassette tape, and we each had a side, and we would record. Like,
we figured out how to get the radio to record onto the tape.
Oh sure, yeah.
And we would.
I remember that day that I figured that out because that was
an
amazing day.
Yes.
That was an amazing day.
That was so rad.
We got like Wolf Mother and Led Zeppelin. And
The Killers.
The Killers.
The
Strokes.
Black Keys, White Stripes.
Franz Ferdinand.
Maroon
Arctic
5,
Monkeys.
All those. That whole kind of 2006. Like, I think it was 2006, 2005 when all those great records came out. I couldn't even believe it.
It was a wonderful, a wonderful year for music. It was between 2004 and 2006 was great.
Yeah,
I felt like, but
not
that it hasn't been good.
Did you ever? Did you ever get caught with this tape?
I think maybe.
No, we didn't. No, I don't think
we've
we
gotten
did.
Busted. I've gotten like grounded for listening to Wolf Mother before.
Yeah.
Without asking, because there's like a, you know, this naked chick and her boobies on the cover. My mom, that's initially like the first hell no. This is never ever coming to my house.
Yeah.
So it was like kind of, it was weird because our, you know, folks being in the church and the kind of a religious system, and then us kind of blossoming into discovering the secular side of things that we could still appreciate with the same roots and values, but it was just so new, man. It was so new. Yeah. I remember when I heard Led Zeppelin for the first time, I had no idea who they even were. I knew the name, but
I remember the first like secular rock and roll song I ever heard was Money from Pink Floyd.
Oh yeah.
And it was actually kind of cool because my dad took me to go get like ice cream. So I was like feeling homesick or something. We just moved to Kick Harbor and he showed me that song. And I was just like, it was like a flip.
Your dad?
Yeah, my dad actually introduced me to that song.
Oh, wow.
And he told me not, you know, he said, don't tell anybody. You know, like, don't say anything. But it was like a complete switch over in my brain. I had no idea anything like that existed.
Right, right.
We would wait till they went to bed to bust out that tape. And then
did you have headphones? You must have had headphones on or something like that, right?
Little ear, crappy earbuds.
I had a little tiny boombox, I think. For a while, and then
that's so crazy. I you know, every I've had a couple conversations like this. Mark Arm of Mudhoney had the same story. Okay. He would go out into his brother's car and put a tape in the tape deck and listen to it that way, and I think he got caught too, and parents just like ripped the tape out of the tape or something, man. Like that
sucks.
But I kind of wish that I had an upbringing like that, because it sounds like every story you hear about somebody who comes across music like in that way, music has a way more special place in your life because you had to like
fight for it.
Fight for it. Yeah, totally. You totally had to fight to be able to listen to something like that.
Absolutely. I remember I got into the darkness like when I was like 13.
Mm-hmm.
That was so new to me, and that was
wonderful. Amazing. That was a wonderful discovery.
But I remember when iTunes, when I got my first iTunes, like my first debit card, my first like iTunes account.
Oh sure.
And I downloaded I Believe in a Thing Called Love, and I was terrified that my mother was gonna find out, especially like because the music video is weird too.
Yeah.
I actually got in trouble for like watching that one time. And
isn't that the one they're in the spaceship or something like that? Yeah.
Oh yeah.
It's a great video.
It is a great video.
But man, we had to sneak.
Well, and we also had to, like, if we actually bought a CD, we'd have them, they'd read through the lyrics for us.
Check it out before you listen to it and stuff.
We used to get like the random, like, I call them like DUI checks, like, illegal stops, you know, where like we'd be walking through the house with earbuds on, listening to something we know we shouldn't be, and my dad'd be like, "What you listening to?"
Hillsong. You can probably see it on your face.
Matt Redman.
Oh man.
Oh yeah.
That sounds crazy to me. Like, so are you guys still pretty close with your family?
Oh yeah, of course.
Yeah.
We love them.
Yeah.
You're laughing as you're telling these stories, like.
Oh, it's great. Oh, yeah. It was like I said, it was a great way to be raised.
Yeah.
And our relationships has definitely improved over time, especially with, you know, we don't have to submit lyrics to people anymore.
Right, right. Well, that was going to be my next question.
They were just trying to protect us, I think, from certain influences. And
Sure. Yeah. I get that, man.
Yeah. You always hate it being in it and growing up in it.
I hated it.
Like, I remember convincing myself that I hated it and I was going to retaliate by being horrible or whatever. And all these, you know, just as a kind of the rebellion stage. But, but you definitely learn to appreciate it when life starts to really head your way and you have to deal with it. It's like, the values and fundamentals that are instilled become valuable when you grow up.
And I like that. I like that.
Yeah.
This is a perfect spot to go to our second musical break. We're featuring songs from the Fame Riot and their EP, which is available right now. Where would you guys like people to go to get this thing?
At shows.
Every show.
Right now, man.
That's the best spot, right?
I know it's kind of like...
Can you get it online?
Not at this point. Not at this point. We're holding it out, man, because people want to just... a lot of people just want to be like, oh yeah, it's convenient, let's get it online. I don't even care if people steal it. I really don't care. Take it. Just spread it.
Well, you've got a lot of great videos too. You can see pretty much all of these songs in video.
Almost,
well, right?
Yeah.
Almost all of them.
With the exception of like two or something.
Yeah.
Like that.
Yeah. So if you, you know, if you're crazy enough about the music, you'll find it.
But, you can find it.
But if you want like brand new mixes, masters, really well done like record, you got to come to our show and pick up a disc.
All right. Well, for the people who don't live here in Seattle, for our national listening audience, just type in Fame Ride into like a YouTube search and you can listen to all this stuff as well. This song is called Get Lost, and we'll be right back with more of the Air Raid Podcast for your ears with special guest this week, the Fame Ride.
That's the reason why there's so many alcoholics, is that they just know that they can't be good enough for getting, you know, I don't know how many thousands of Jehovah's Witnesses have already died, but
yeah,
it must be filled up at this point.
It's totally full. Mm-hmm. It's to capacity. Oh my God. Oh my God. So before we, when we left there, we were talking a little bit about your past, religious exploits and growing up in a very religious family. Did you guys end up leaving the religion, quote unquote? Are you still practicing?
We never really practiced religion. I kind of hate the word religion because it kind of puts a box around God. And if you actually believe in God, then there's no way like you can. God created the box, so
sure.
I think.
Do you believe in God?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
Okay.
I just think that that. There's always going to be someone bigger and badder than you out there, and me and anybody else. There's always going to be somebody bigger and badder than you, really.
Sure.
Ultimately, and I think man is definitely brilliant, but not as brilliant as we think, I think.
I don't know. Yeah. But we've never, I think we really try not to push anything on people. I don't like to be pushed on, you know.
Oh, sure.
So,
yeah.
It doesn't really matter.
But the religion thing is like I wouldn't consider myself a religious person, but I would definitely consider myself a spiritual person.
Okay.
Without a doubt. Like
okay.
I have that's instilled in me. That's instilled in him. Like that will never leave us, is that we're sensitive. I'm sensitive in that area, man. I pick up on like subliminal shit all the time, you know, with people and I don't know. I think we have good discernment.
Yeah, I think so.
From it all. You can really see the psychos from a mile away.
You can pick up like vibes from people. And I think there's a spiritual plane and
yeah.
Yeah. But You yeah. can't, I can't see it. So, you yeah. know, I'm not going to tell you that you're wrong.
But yeah, I mean, well, I like everybody's different, yeah. man. Everybody's yeah. got their own thing, but I definitely, yeah, I definitely say that we're spiritual people. And that's, I think that's a huge part of the music that mm-hmm. we talked about. It's, you gotta, I think you gotta touch people, man, on a level where they can't even like explain it. Like there's no formula for it. It's just the way it feels when it hits you. It's got to feel right.
Sure. Sure. That's so what do you, yeah. What does your family feel about the band and the music? Are they supportive?
Oh man, they're the they're probably
biggest fans. Dude.
Biggest
really?
Fans, mm-hmm. most supportive.
That's great.
Yeah.
Our folks, we when we started playing rock and roll music in California and rock bands, we didn't let our folks come to the shows. We said, you guys can't
But they
come.
Wanted to.
They wanted to. They yeah. wanted to support us. And they were like, they actually, because it was more supportive at the time not to attend, they wouldn't attend. They would just, they would let us do our thing and yeah. we'd get video of the shows and then let them watch the video.
Uh-huh.
But there's something about kind of breaking out of your box in front of your folks that just doesn't really go over well the first couple times.
You know, I share that experience. I had, my parents have seen me play once live when I was playing music.
Who'd you play with?
I played in a band called The Huge. And then in college I was in other bands and stuff. And that's when my parents came and visited this town that I went to college in. And they came and saw one of our shows. And luckily it was like, it was a packed house and everything like that, you know, and they came and I was so nervous.
Just because
that at one point I totally forgot how to play one of the songs.
Oh.
Like, and we just had to like cut it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
That sucks, man.
It was awful. It was awful. But I was so nervous having
yeah.
my parents.
Oh yeah. I've never been more nervous than playing in front of the folks.
Oh, me neither. I would rather play in front of thousands of people. I don't know yeah. than like mm-hmm. five people I do know. It's kind of a terrifying experience to some degree.
Do you guys still struggle with that a little bit?
I think we're over it.
Pretty good,
not so much anymore.
I think we're over it. I think we realize that if you just don't give a rip, that people don't give a rip either.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of just what you put down is what people will pick up.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I think that's what we've learned, especially mm-hmm. now that like our folks come, they want to come, they come to every show they can. And we always, we'll guest list
they
them.
They were there.
Sure.
There.
Yeah. You better put them on the
oh,
guest
heck
list.
Yeah. No.
Always. Yeah, man, you keep a pastor off of the guest list. That's a ticket straight to hell, guys.
or purgatory, depending
purgatory,
on what you're
yeah,
into.
Yeah, yeah. So how did music start for you? Was it a music? I mean, your dad was secretly into Pink Floyd.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, man.
Did he play music?
Well, I didn't know.
He's a singer.
He's a singer. Oh, okay. He was a singer, and he's actually a really popular singer in like the Midwest
in his day
for yeah. like church,
the wedding church singer music. The church singer, the
oh wow
my mom sings, she sings really loudly, but I don't know if it's
she's pitch perfect, she's pitch but her perfect. Tone is awful just because she's your mother, you know, you have
but
to
I
give your
it.
Mother a little bit of crap every once in a while.
I love it because it's such a she's so free about it, she
so
does
free.
Not care
yeah.
what people
yeah.
think. And I think that's a very valuable
That was
trait.
Definitely encouraging to know, like, hey, mom doesn't care what she sounds like. Why should we care what we sound like
yeah.
to mom?
True. Yeah. So, but they didn't play any instruments.
My dad played, like, a couple open chords on guitar. That's about it.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Most people in the 70s.
Yeah.
But
so how did it start for you guys? Did
church, man. Yeah. Our older brothers.
Being in church bands?
Yeah, yeah.
And worship teams, music teams that led like the music at the church.
Uh-huh.
We'd do like services where it was a lot of improv stuff and
okay.
a lot of you do like a 30-minute rehearsal before the service and you learn the songs, but everything in between is subject to change. So you kind of have to just flow with it. It has
right,
to
right.
you go by the feeling and by the vibe of the room and by the vibe of the people talking, and
dynamics change a lot, like especially with the drums and I don't know, it quiets down a lot and it rises up really heavily sometimes. And I think that's a very valuable thing to understand as well.
Yeah,
in the music business.
Great. So when and you guys mentioned this a little bit, but when did you like make the jump from playing like gospel music and in church bands to making what we would call secular music?
Mm.
Rock
well,
music.
I think we were playing when we moved to Sacramento. We were a part of a church there because we moved with our folks and they uh-huh. moved to be a part of this church, and we played on the worship band there, and we got really fed up with it because it just, it was like the same thing over and every Sunday was just like the same five songs.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, we, man.
And it was like the only musical outlet we had, and that's kind of what it was. I know I feel bad, but it's honesty. It was very much just a musical outlet. Like I didn't even feel like I was worshiping because I was so sick of it. But we were like, dude, we need a musical outlet. We need to be able to play our things that we're jamming on, because we just wrote.
And what were you guys? What were you guys playing? Like, were you playing guitar and drums? Well, I think, or what?
Yeah,
he's a drummer. Well, back up in Gig Harbor before we actually moved to Sacramento, I was playing classical piano from like 7 to on, and then I started drums about 12.
Okay.
And he got a guitar kind of that same year.
Nice.
And so we started playing rock and roll music, but.
It was like when we got into that tape.
We were playing like The Police.
Yeah. We were covering all those in our in our basement or in our...
The Ramones and The Police and The White Stripes and some Wolf Mother stuff. And it was mostly riffing. No singing at this point. We were both too shy.
We were all terrified of our own voice.
And we squeaked a lot, you know?
Uh-huh.
But when we... Yeah, so then we kept playing and playing and getting better. And
our dream was like, we need to book a show. One day we'll book a show. One day.
And you're just playing with it. You're just playing just two brothers. Nobody else was coming in?
Well, there was point? we had old school friends that were like playing bass and rhythm guitar, but it was very much just a jam thing, and then we moved to Sac and did the worship thing, had no friends. And then we met
Joe Thompson.
Yeah, Tommy Gunn Thompson. We met like a guitarist from Sacramento, and he was into Guns N' Roses and Zeppelin and Aerosmith. And
it was really a whole kind of rock and roll genre we hadn't really explored a lot.
Sure.
But it's always been there, and it's like inspired everything that we were into, and we just kind of backtracked from there, and then we got our first show, a really crappy Battle of the Bands.
Gorilla Productions. I don't know if you know anything about those guys.
They lost a big lawsuit. and it's so funny because we totally knew how screwed it was.
What was so screwy about this? Well, this was the battle of that first Battle of the Bands.
We were a different band. And we just wanted a show, and it was like Battle of the Bands, easy book.
Sure.
So we did it, and we went on to the next round, and we didn't know we would, but we did. And it was all based on ticket sales. Everything was based on ticket sales, and they never marketed that way.
The guys like disappeared. Yeah. So half the prizes weren't like actually rewarded to anybody.
Oh no!
I thought that was funny.
And they took the amount of money we brought in from pre-sales, because they really pushed you got to sell pre-sale. Yeah. They made so much money, didn't give anything to the bands, and it was just bad, man. It was really bad, and we were like, screw this. But that was like the first like secular.
How'd that first show go?
It was really good.
Oh,
man.
It was great.
It was like...
You like being up on stage? You like being up in front of people playing this music?
Or yeah, there's video on YouTube, but I won't tell you
so bad.
How to find it. Somebody will find it someday.
Eventually.
But it was cool. Yeah. We had fun. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's good.
About just getting it out and having an outlet.
Yeah.
So just performing. And
It was a big rehearsal for kind of our future plans, and I think it's essential to do that.
Yeah. So you started out kind of playing like heavier rock and roll music.
Oh yeah. 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 Before we got so sick of trying to hold a band together and get everybody to be as committed and on the same page as us that he moved up back to Seattle from Sacramento when I was still living down there. So we kind of had our first, it was the first time first time in our lives that we had been separated for more than 2 weeks.
Really?
In our entire life for like 15 years.
What's the age difference with you guys?
Like two and a half years.
2.5 years?
Yeah.
Shazbot's older than me. I'm the younger brother. I'm the little child. He beats. He can beat me up.
Still. No. You go crazy, man. I wouldn't even mess with you no more.
I think we
got
it
all out.
We got it all out.
Kick my butt, and it drives me nuts.
We got it all out though when we were like,
oh, we beat the crap out of each other a lot.
We used to take cheap shots and all that. But
that's normal.
There's always cause and effect, though.
It was like the one. There was like one huge fight physically, and then I don't think we ever really fought.
It ended it all
physically anymore. Yeah, verbally sometimes, but they're mostly minor, minor disagreements.
Sure.
Yeah.
So then you, how did the, like, bringing in more of an electronic sound come into play?
Well, so he moved up to Seattle, like I was saying, sure, to play keys in a band called Ben Union.
Oh, and right.
Ben Union happens to be our older brother. I don't know if anybody knows that. Some people know that. Some people don't, but
I had no idea.
Ben's been doing his thing in the Seattle scene for a little while, and Shaz played keyboards for like 2 years for him. So he moved up, and then I moved up like 6 months later, and we didn't have a band. We didn't have, but I knew I still needed to continue playing shows. I knew it. Right. I was like, we got to keep playing shows. We got to keep developing music, and we didn't have a drummer or a bassist. And I got the program Logic, and sure, I was like, dude, I can make beats now, so I don't need a drummer. And we were like, let's just do electronic shows, and let's write songs, program a band, and just jam over it, just to do something, just to perform and get our shit out there. And basically, we did that for a period of time, and just started to grow. You know,
were you playing shows just with the two of you then, and then a drum machine?
It was really bad. We used to be called Moon Juice. Moon Juice was the duo.
And we always knew that we were gonna do music together.
Yeah,
exclusively.
Yeah. Exclusively. Yeah. But we started kind of moving away from Ben Union, and we both kind of played. He played bass, actually. So Liz played bass in Ben Union for a bit.
Only for like keyboards for like three shows. 4 months. Okay. Just filling in because they've gone through like five bassists now, and
sure.
And it's always the bassist.
Like three guitarists. I filled in guitar for like a month for them, and but they're the big brothers, so they help you out. You help them out.
Yeah, man.
That's
yeah.
family. So,
yeah.
But Ben, man, they have a tour shuttle, like a bus, and he drove us all the way down the West Coast for our tour in his bus.
Oh, that's great.
And served us. And
so you got some experience there.
Oh yeah, man.
Going out on tour and playing big shows and stuff.
Yeah,
like
man.
That.
For the first time as the Fame Riot, we got out of Washington State.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And that was also like something that needed to happen. We needed to play Portland because we record in Portland and we have like a fan base there, and we had to, you gotta water your crops, you know?
Yeah, yeah, totally, totally.
So, yeah, man.
Churn the soil. So it was like the first stretch. Yeah, we just got back night before last. We got in at like 10:30.
Right, and
from Sacramento. So
yeah, yeah.
But we went,
played some shows in L.A.
Yeah, we played the Viper Room in L.A.
Uh-huh.
And that was hosted by it was sponsored by New Amsterdam Vodka. So it was like I don't know if it was a free show. It was like $5 cover. It was a really cheap show. And like cheap alcohol, and they sponsored it. But the king of K-Rock, KROQ in Los Angeles, 106.7 FM. Rodney Bingenheimer, classic legend DJ from Los Angeles, hosted the night.
Yeah, and he's kind of been behind you guys a little bit. Like,
yeah,
he's playing
man.
Your stuff down there on K-Rock.
It's crazy.
For a while, yeah.
Yeah.
And for about a year
he
and
loves
a half.
It.
So.
Yeah. That's really cool.
He announced us on stage. It's crazy. He did that for like Blondie and like the Clash. He's done it for so many people. Like announced them on stage and he did it for the Fame Ride. It was nuts.
He showed David Bowie around when Bowie came to LA for the first time.
Wow.
And like him up at
74, 75, I think, something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bowie had his acting hiatus, or his musical hiatus to do acting, and he was based in Burbank. I think, I don't know if it's Burbank or just North Hollywood, but he was like, Bowie was in LA for like a couple of years, and Rodney was the guy that was taking him around and kicking it with him. And with most of the bands in the 70s, I think that broke, he was kind of behind it, he was like the guru. Yeah,
yeah.
Well, I think I mean,
that's
he played
that's huge.
He played the Killers a lot, the Strokes a lot too, like before they were,
he broke Coldplay and Katy Perry, I think. I don't know. Apparently, Katy Perry and him don't get along anymore. I don't know why. I almost asked him, but I didn't want
to
like.
Yeah, I wanted to know that too. But
yeah, I was curious because our producer was the first producer to work with Katy Perry when she was signed to Columbia as Katy Perry.
Yeah,
and then she was working with Meredith Brooks and Rob was a part of the project, but Columbia didn't know what to do with Katy Perry, so they dropped her and. I'm sure all those guys are living happily unemployed. No, I don't know. I don't know anything. But man.
You sound pretty excited after that tour.
It felt good, man.
Yeah.
It felt good.
The shows went well?
Oh, amazing, man.
So well.
Yeah. We made a lot of new fans. We got our music kind of out to some more people, and I think that's a huge, yeah, it's a big part of it.
Is the Northwest going to lose the Fame Riot? Are you guys going to move down to L.A. now?
I can neither confirm nor deny that. Yeah. The Northwest will never really lose.
If you're worried
us.
About it, just take advantage of the time now while we're here.
Come to our shows now. Buy our CDs.
I got to say, though, we were very devastated to leave Los Angeles when we did. It was so lovely. And
that was, what, 2 weeks?
Yeah, we were there for 2 weeks. But we went to San Diego one night and then Santa Ana the next night. Sure. We met these fans. I got to say this because they'll probably be happy to hear this. But we were so blown away by the people we met playing shows. And
it's true.
We met this mother and her daughter in San Diego who came to the Casbah when we played the Casbah in San Diego. And they didn't come out to see us. We opened the night. That was like the one show that we were openers and kind of like, this'll be all right. We're just going to have fun. And it was a great set, but these people, this lady and her daughter saw us, and they totally freaked out. They were like, where do these people come from? And they followed us. They drove, the mom and her daughter drove from San Diego to Santa Ana the very next day.
And saw you again.
Saw us in Santa Ana, and without even like telling us, they just showed up, and I was like, what?
Yeah, I thought that was amazing.
Oh, that's fantastic.
And then like an hour before our set in Sacramento, like a couple days later, the mom, the daughter, and their other daughter showed up. They drove the mom drove from San Diego to LA to pick up both of her daughters and drove to Sacramento all in one day just to see us three times in a row.
Yeah, oh my God, that's great, insane. Man. That's got to be a huge,
it was
like,
awesome.
And they and they're like making fans and spreading the word, and they bought CDs. It was so good.
That's awesome. Good. That's great. Well, that's really good to hear. Yeah. It's always nice to hear one, musicians be excited about their own career. Right? Because you get that sometimes, too. Like, people are still... Some people, especially here in the Northwest, are still kind of in the whole, like, oh, yeah, I don't care.
I don't care if I'm popular.
Exactly.
So I mean,
we don't really...
You know, it's not about really, like, we got to be secure. We got to find our security. Like, we're secure doing what we do regardless of how many people are watching us do our thing.
True. But still, it's like, you know, I mean... for somebody in a band, if you want to be in a band, man, that's like your dream. Yeah. Go and get it, right? And be excited about your success, too, at the same time, because you owe that to the people who enjoy your music.
Yeah,
right?
Well, absolutely. And we wouldn't be doing it, though. We wouldn't be doing it without the people, without our lovely freaks, man, without the people that support us and just the people that are like family, that like
people
loan
that
us
dress
fans
up for shows.
Sure.
Come to all the shows and share the music and bring their friends and...
I think it's fantastic.
It's wonderful. It's a community kind of thing, man.
Yeah.
Very much.
Yeah. That's great. So when you guys only have an EP out, right?
At the moment,
yeah.
And some music videos, you know, online.
Yeah, you got a ton of music videos. I did want to ask you about that. Like, you do have a lot of music videos.
We got three.
Oh, there's only three?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought there was like five.
Well, on YouTube, there's songs that are like, some of them, before we like released our songs, we were putting just the demos on YouTube for people to listen to.
Okay, maybe that's what thinking of. Okay,
Heart Stray, there's like a video on YouTube of Heart Stray. It was the first song we put out as the Fame Riot.
Okay.
And it has like a slideshow. And then another one, it's a slideshow of songs.
Okay, maybe that's
what you saw.
I was thinking of, okay.
But there's
you
only...
You do have three. You got three like...
Three fully done music videos.
Straight up music videos that are really awesome music videos.
Thanks.
Shot super well by apparently this guy that you...
Rob Dacre.
By Rob Dacre.
Yeah.
Our producer from PDX Portland.
Yeah, that's
multi-talented
great,
genius Dark Uncle.
Yeah. Yeah, we call him Dark Uncle.
He's Dark Uncle.
He's like our uncle, but he always wears black. So he's like Scar, Uncle Scar, so we call him Dark Uncle.
Nice.
No. But he's a genie in a bottle, man. A genie in a very big bottle.
Absolutely incredible.
I mean, having a video nowadays is very important for bands too, right? Like, I mean, a lot of people see that kind of stuff, right?
Yeah, man. There's nothing better than like getting people to sonically identify with your product, and then and then on top of that, visually identify with it. It's like that they can triangulate who you really are when they see and hear you. It's like they can triangulate who you are and what you're doing.
Yeah,
true.
So we wanted to represent visually,
right,
with them.
And like I told you guys when we first came here to the backyard, the video for I like the way you move, the dancer in that video.
Mm.
Totally in love with that woman. I don't know who she is.
She was lovely. She was such a delight to work
what
with.
What was her
man.
Name again? What was her name?
I can't remember. I know. Oh, so you don't know so her bad. Personally. No. It was just like she was brought in.
No, I didn't meet her until...
She's like a ballerina.
Yeah.
And
we met her on set.
Like
we
came in with her boyfriend. And they were
so
both dancing.
Very disheartened
stretching.
To hear this.
I know. I mean, she was just so sweet.
We didn't know what to expect. Vivi was
there
her name.
Go.
Vivi,
yeah,
yeah. Wonderful dancer.
Bye-bye.
But we didn't know, man. We were like, I hope she's pretty, and I hope she's not a shy person. Because we tend to, like, shut people down sometimes if phase them out. I don't know. Some people just don't like – they don't know what to think.
They don't like positive energy.
Well, whose idea was it for you guys? Because there's a point, she's dancing in this like big room,
yeah.
And then you guys kind of come in through the music video, and you have like a saxophone or something like that, right?
Trombone and a trumpet,
and then you just start dancing like freaks.
Oh, we
right next to this woman who's like dancing beautifully.
That's exactly what we wanted, man.
Yeah.
It was actually Rob's idea to kind of have someone that was professional, graceful, perfect in their moves, and then have us do what we do live and like do what we do when we're just having fun in the studio or whatever, like just dance around and be weird
and
to show that that dynamic was like, I thought it was really pretty.
Well, it's a great video to accompany that song. That's one of my favorites off of the EP. So are you working on a full length?
Oh man, I mean, we already have enough content for two full lengths right now. Full lengths, like on
in the banks.
In the banks.
In the banks.
Yeah.
But yeah, man.
Are you guys going to put that
first,
together?
This is our first release, man.
Yeah, man.
We haven't even finished. We haven't even put it online.
We got to milk the dust funk while we can.
It was a process. It was a process. It was a really great process, too. It was a lot of hard work and energy.
It was really hard to dwindle down what we have to put into dust funk and
see
how do we want to represent the first thing, you know, that we release officially. Is like you want it to be right, and that's the hardest thing for us right now is picking the songs that, like, it's so hard to find one that we like less than
it's true
any of them. We just enjoy it making the music.
It's
a fun process, and
so we picked those songs where I don't know, they've definitely got the most work on them, and I felt like the best written ones right now, and kind of, I mean, maybe not the best written ones, but
some of them were
finished
just like
ones.
Some of them were so original that we had to put them on there. Like we couldn't not put Heartstray on our first EP. You know what I mean? That was, we knew that one was going to go on. We knew Limits was going
to
go on. And, but we wrote like,
be better.
We wrote, what is it? Let My Heart Go. It's the last song on the EP. And that one was added at the very last minute to the EP because of just how it turned out. And we were just, let's throw it in there.
Sure.
So I don't know.
We love that one. It's a different sort of vibe, but I think it's beautiful. Yeah. I was stoked about that one. I'm stoked about all of them. I really can't pick my favorite.
I'm stoked on all of them too, man. I like it.
Thank you.
It's a great EP. And I can't wait to hear whenever you guys put out a full length.
Oh yeah, it's coming. We have some.
Will you let me know?
We will.
Oh, dude.
I want there to be like,
we'll drop it off like in the backyard.
Hey,
11
like that.
11 songs, maybe something like that, and then like a bonus track or something.
There you go. There you go.
But we got some good. I love. Where did the hidden track go?
That's what I was just gonna say.
I missed that.
Why don't people
true,
do that
man.
Anymore?
There was nothing like falling asleep to a record and then being woken up again 5 minutes later. By the ending track.
I forgot about that. There was a lot of Christian bands we used to
Yeah, a lot of Christian. Reliant K. I remember listening to them a lot. They got.
They were
I got
a Christian band?
They were, man. They were signed to...
I guess I never knew that.
What was that
label? Sparrow, maybe?
No.
Tooth and Nail?
Man. Like, it started with a G. It was...
God Records.
That sounds so
God.
Up the right alley.
G-O-D. Records.
No, but they did Secret Songs, and I always enjoyed the Secret Songs.
Beck has a couple secret songs that are funny too. I like those ones.
But maybe we'll put a secret song in.
I think you guys should bring it back.
Okay. All right. I think we're gonna take that into consideration. It might be jazz. It might be hip hop.
There you go. It might be just a guitar solo. Just catch people. Yeah, just a single guitar solo at the end.
One note. Wait,
like 2 minutes one after note the song. Last song ends. Yeah. Well, I really appreciate you guys taking the time and coming in here and talking with me. This has been a real pleasure.
Oh, man. We've had a blast.
Yeah, we had some great coffee too.
And yes, some good coffee.
Stumptown. So am I allowed to say that on here? I'm drinking Stumptown coffee.
I'm sure Stumptown does not mind.
All right, Stumptown.
We love
Stumptown. Send me a bag
coffee.
Of beans. Yeah, I'm a broke ass musician.
Well, thank you guys so much. And what's coming up for you guys? Any tour dates? Shows
we're playing. I mean, I know we're playing a show before this is going to be released, so that I shouldn't say that. But we are playing Luigi's in Fife on August 1st. It's a Friday,
okay.
And our EP. It's an all ages show. Our EP will be there, and that is kind of the opportunity for all the kids who couldn't come to our 21 and up EP release to come get a copy and dance and kind of like
that's gonna be the fun.
It's kind of like having a wedding out of the country and then coming back and having a wedding in the country, you know.
Sure,
that's kind of
sure.
like what we're doing. So
we're playing with two other great bands called NTNT from Portland.
Oh yeah,
we
they're
really
great.
Love NTNT.
Yeah, they're super good,
amazing guys too. Yeah. And then Crying Spell as well.
Awesome.
And they're great, like new wave band.
Yeah. Well, that'll be a good show.
Yes.
All right, August 1st. Get your tickets now, right?
They yes.
On sale?
I don't know if they're on sale, but I know the event's posted online, and if the event's posted, they'll be on sale from there.
Sure,
so.
Sure.
But we'll post it
okay.
very soon.
And follow you guys on Twitter and Facebook.
Instagram.
Yeah.
Instagram.
The Fame Riot.
Yes, sir.
Check
Fame
it Riot. Out. Well, thank you guys so much.
Oh, thank
a lot of
you,
fun.
Aaron. We love
thank
you,
sir.
Oh, I love you guys, too.
Yeah,
friends for life, right?
Mucho love.
I hope so.
Mucho love.
So go and visit these guys, thefameriot.com, or like I said, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Go do that, right?
Mm.
We're going to go out today with the song Limits. Let's do that one.
Ooh,
another
right,
one
like
of my favorites.
Smile Some
of the,
More.
Off of the EP that is out right now. And you can just go to the show and get it, or send them an email and say, send me one, and I'll send you money.
Ooh, we like that.
Or send them money first, and then do it. Yeah, do it that way.
There's some people I still got to drop CDs to. Some people like, take the money. Okay. Got to drop some CDs. Oh, I got a list. I'm going to knock it out.
But it's the first printing, so it's a valuable
I wanted to say, it was crazy. We heard that Macklemore was on the show.
Uh-huh.
It was really crazy. This is just, I'll just kind of end my thing with this, is that we saw on the day of our EP release, he was hanging out in Capitol Hill. And our EP release was under Numos in Barboza.
In Barboza, yeah.
And Macklemore, I saw him walk across the street, and I did a double take because I never seen him before. And you know, everybody's hyped right now. It's crazy.
Oh, sure.
But me and Levi were like, dude, we just said, screw it. We're going to go meet him. We're going to go give him a disc and just say, screw it. And we did. And we met him, and it was cool. It was really
weird.
He's
a nice guy.
Very nice. But I think he thought we were like digging in his pocket or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
But what can you do?
I hope he listened.
But I hope he listened to it. I told him, hey man, I just hope it blows your mind. I don't care if you throw it away, but try it.
So. True.
That's great. He's a good dude, man. I'm sure he did listen to it.
I hope so.
Yeah.
Oh, we'll see.
Or I'm sure he will.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
But yeah, man. So Dust Funk.
Dust Funk EP. Check it out.
That's the now.
All right. Mm. Well, thanks for listening, everybody. Thanks for tuning in this week. Remember, you can go to www.air-raid.net, click on the Archives tab, and check out all the old past episodes of the Air Raid podcast, all 207 of them, with people like Chris Wall of Death Cab for Cutie, Macklemore, Bob Saget, Jim Brewer, Pete Holmes, Mike Birbiglia, Mudhoney. I mean, come on. It's all right there. And now, the wonderful Fame Riot on that list as well. So go and check it out, www.air-raid.net. Okay, like I said, we're going out today with the song Limits. I hope you guys enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening. Have a great week.
1, 2, 3, 4, you should try and smile some more. 5, 6, 7, 8, your style makes mine look great. I saw you standing there. I did.